get it in court, but because that requires a massive expenditure of funds and resources. But we certainly can consider that as one alternative and other alternatives happening at the same time. I've urged people on this show to consider civil disobedience or to consider mass protest or consider creative Earth First style protests, and that those will be discussed, I imagine, at this conference. The main question is whether there is the critical mass of people to do this who have enough time, energy, and interest to put into the campaign to end the sleeping ban. We have so many people over the years who have been such strong supporters of ending the ban and come to city council after city council, let themselves ride the Catherine Byers, Keith Sugar, Christopher Crone roller coaster. I don't want to call it a roller coaster. It's some other metaphor is probably more appropriate. But people have gotten burned out on this issue, and then, of course, activists end up fighting each other and denouncing each other because it's so frustrating. You're pounding your head against a brick wall. But if you have the right demolition equipment, so to speak, metaphorically speaking, and you have enough people doing it, and you have enough different folks in kind of different areas working on it, then I think you can succeed. They did in Santa Barbara, where they abolished their sleeping ban in 1986 because of a massive campaign, come to Santa Barbara, go to sleep, go to jail, under the fig tree. There was this huge, beautiful fig tree they used to have down by Highway 101. And Mitch Snyder and other activists from Washington, D.C. came in, did a full-time organizing job. Local philanthropists and the even the social service providers, come on, Paul Brindell, get it together, stepped up to the plate and were pressing the city council to make the changes. And the city council had to. It was just essentially afraid of a massive inundation of people. And that's a possibility. We kind of did that in Santa Cruz in 1990 when we had a People's Congress in the summer of 1990. Got a couple hundred homeless people to come to Santa Cruz, and I think they were unfortunately counter-protests of about 400 or 500 red shirts organized by Carolyn Boozenhart and Vern and other sort of right-wing folks from the burbs. But there were positive things that came out of that kind of mobilization, and there was a lot of the positive things were the homeless service center and the free meals. And a lot of homeless services that people take for granted today came from pressure from the streets and refusal to accept Marty Wormhout's dictum of roll over and play dead, Mike Rutkin's hide out or get out, Fitzmaurice's show more respect at city council meetings and maybe we'll throw you a bone at some point. All these politicians who have essentially ducked, avoided, or just misrepresented the issue, they respond to the kinds of pressure that I think can mobilize at a grassroots level. And we'll see if that's around. That's May 3rd through 5th, and again, Earth Day today. Come on down to San Lorenzo Park and check out the various booths. Tried to convince the hair cast to go down and do a little singing, but as you heard, they're busy. Who knows, maybe I'll just have to do some singing myself down there. At this Right to Sleep Summit, there's going to be numerous encampments represented that are actually high-profile, technically illegal, although some of them have been legalized because they've refused to leave, and self-sustaining, homeless-run settlements. One of them is the famous Dignity Village in Portland, Oregon, and the latest email from Jeff the Fiddler says at least 15 people are coming down on a bus from Portland. Another encampment is Isla Vista down in Santa Barbara, and I guess they had a meeting in Isla Vista with the Isla Vista Recreation and Parks District, which for some reason had no law around sleeping and camping. But the police department had been acting for years as though they had and issuing illegal tickets. So when Teepee Village, also known as Camp Home Sweet Home, and I understand that really isn't the real name of the camp, or at least it's they don't mind that name, but it's more popularly known by a variety of names. We're going to hear that discussion actually a little later in the show, because that's all this is. This talk you're hearing from me is sort of a prologue to a series of interviews by activist Becky Johnson, who went down to Isla Vista. She actually went all the way down to Los Angeles, but came back through Isla Vista and did some interviewing, talked to the folks there, and some of the stuff was quite interesting. And I'm going to play some tape that she made down there. And indeed, I'm hoping I can get from her a phone call about how the Isla Vista Recreational and Parks Department voted, because there was a discussion as to how, whether they would allow camping and sleeping somewhat or not at all, or in one park maybe but not in others. They had apparently had a very favorable pro-homeless civil rights turnout at the first meeting about a month and a half ago, and the result was a subcommittee set up which included homeless people, kind of almost unprecedented. And they came back with recommendations, and there was a vote on Thursday night, which I didn't get the outcome of, although I did talk to activist and writer Peter Marin, who's also a poet, who appears in Street Spirit. He's a housed person, lives in a house, and he's been fighting quite successfully, slowly, small successes, but successfully, to establish rights for recreational vehicle dwellers in Santa Barbara, along with Attorney Glenn Maurer, the former public defender down there, has been so successful in using the necessity defense to win cases. And Marin told me that he was gloomy about the prospects of the Parks and Recreation District down there allowing people to sleep in parks, because there was a massive or some significant bigotry, mythology, and smearing going on by some of the local residents, talking about hypodermic needles and what about the dangers to our children and the kind of crap you heard here in Santa Cruz when some residents were concerned there was a complete overhaul of the camping ban being considered. Actually, there was a show effort being run by Catherine Byers with Christopher Crone and Keith Sugar tagging along, followed the next year by another show effort here in Santa Cruz under the Homeless Issues Task Force, where the Homeless Issues Task Force members led by Linda LeMaster actually thought they were going to be given some credence, and they were completely ignored, even shut up and gagged at the final meetings of the council where their resolutions were, quote, considered, unquote. But what's being considered down at in Isla Vista is the fact that homeless people set up an encampment. They gave up waiting and they acted, and they have an encampment down there called Isla Vista. And the question is, how can Isla Vista deal with criminalization, if it comes, or has come? We're not sure if it's come yet or not. And I hope to get a report from Becky or from Jenny Jett, who lives down there, later in the show. But while we're waiting for that report and thinking it over, or I guess we can think over what we want, but what you can think over here is the actual words of homeless people down there. Before I play that, I'm going to read you a brief series of stories from the Daily Nexus, which is the UC Santa Barbara daily paper. You can actually reach it by going to the Nexus on the website, the Daily Nexus. And the original campsite that the homeless camped in was Anisqui Oyo. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. And here's sort of story that talks about the beginnings of Tepee Village, or the most recent incarnation of Tepee Village, or Camp Home Sweet Home. About 15 transient Isla Vista residents set up camp in Anisqui Park Sunday evening, this is January 29th, calling the pouring rain the last straw for a group that says it's tired of having nowhere to sleep safely and legally. Protesters cited the January 12th death of homeless resident Diva Redwood, who friends say died partly due to the stress of being homeless, as a prime example of the need to change county law, which prohibits sleeping and camping in public areas from sunset until 6 a.m. the next day. Apparently, county law doesn't apply to the park district, and they found this out after this story was written. So now there's the danger of a new anti-homeless county law coming up. We're going to hear about that. Longtime Ivy resident Jenny Jett, who estimated there are about 50 homeless adults in Ivy, said the protesters plan to stay in the park through Monday, January 28th. And, of course, they're still there, and it's now April 21st. Actually, they're not in that park. They moved to another one, but they're still together as a group, and they're still on public property, and they're still inviting just to a limited extent, other homeless people to join them. One of the protesters, Chris Osmer, said the group hopes to get the attention from the community and put pressure on the Santa Barbara County Board of Supervisors, as well as the IV, Isla Vista, Recreation and Parks District, to open up some sort of emergency shelter. Eventually, Osmer said they hope to establish a permanent campground in IV where the homeless can legally park cars and set up tents to camp in. Then a story from February 8th, IVRPD, Isla Vista Recreational Park District, will not deal with homeless issue. District lacks money to provide living space, say board members. The Isla Vista Recreation Parks District turned down requests to put the homeless issue on the agenda at last night's meeting, claiming it lacked the authority to grant them a living space. Ivy homeless advocates stationed themselves in tents in Anscoyo Park on January 27th and remained in the park for 10 days, despite a county ordinance prohibiting overnight camping. Homeless advocates said they hoped to show the community the positive spirit of the homeless and to demonstrate the need for a permanent living space for Ivy's homeless. I can't even describe for you the experience we've all had living in the park, homeless advocate and UCSB graduate Chris Armour said. This is the most powerful thing I've ever done. The spirit we've all shown, I know it has been at least a couple years since we had a sense of spirit or empowerment. The homeless spoke at the IVRPD meeting last night in order to inform the board of the positive effects of 10 camping days and to request an emergency meeting where the IVRPD would help the homeless find an area of living space and approach the county for help. It doesn't seem like the IVRPD is helping, and we need some support, said homeless advocate Guitar Dave Doyle. Anscoyo is not the place we're trying to set up, but we have to do something. Now, it's interesting. The IVRPD is the same group that's considering an anti-homeless law, and they didn't want to do anything at all until they learned that the laws they thought were in place weren't there at all. That's when various tickets were given to these folks. They still refused to move. They didn't run. They took them to court, and Glenn Maurer, the attorney I mentioned before, had them all dismissed, showing that there was no such law that actually covered them. So then, of course, the IVRPD is all for meeting in order to get rid of homeless people, namely to tell them to move on. Here's a story from February 4th from a staff editorial from the Daily Nexus. Staff editorial, Ghost of Tom Joad. Isla Vista needs to build a homeless shelter. Providing assistance to Isla Vista's homeless may not be a solution to homelessness, but if there is such a solution, and it may not be cheap, but it is a decent thing to do. Right now, about a dozen homeless people are camping in Anscoyo Park at night. They're protesting a county ordinance that bans sleeping in public places between sunset and 6 a.m. The homeless in Anscoyo know they're being watched by the police and have kept out troublemakers and drunks. Their protest has been orderly, quiet, and clean. The Ivy Foot Patrol has issued only one ticket, even though everyone camping in the park is breaking the law. The police are doing the right thing. The homeless in Anscoyo are protesting peacefully a law that makes it a crime for them to get a night's sleep. In this case, not enforcing the law is the best kind of law enforcement. And by the time I got down there about a month ago, or a month and a half ago, they'd issued a number of tickets, and then several weeks ago, all those tickets, as I mentioned, were dismissed. The protesters in Anscoyo are demanding a permanent campground, which is unreasonable. Ivy's parks belong to everyone and were purchased as public spaces and not as squatters' camps. The last permanent campground in Ivy was Teepee Village, torn down in 79. Teepee Village was a mess, lacking adequate plumbing or any plumbing at all. A permanent homeless shelter in Ivy is best. I think there are a lot of homeless people who would dispute that, but somewhere that offers a night or two in a warm bed, long-term beds for those who undergo job training, and a free breakfast program and basic health services. Given Isla Vista's track record, the shelter would be well-staffed with volunteers, blah, 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 blah. This is the Daily Nexus taking a somewhat conservative position. Peter Marin, who I mentioned before, that I spoke to several days ago, wrote, and this is the beginning of his editorial, "Sleep shouldn't be a crime. On behalf of the Committee for Social Justice, I want to address the issue of the proposed ordinance on sleeping and camping to be considered by the District Board. As you may know, our organization works with the homeless and defends them in the courts. We have recently won a significant victory in the appeals court, which underscores the possibility of making a successful necessity defense for those who violate city or county restrictions on sleeping or camping. Judges and juries are now clearly obligated to consider a defense based upon the fact that homeless men and women have no choice in breaking such laws, given the absence of alternatives. In such cases, they can and should be acquitted of breaking the law. The Isla Vista Recreation and Parks District is now proposing their own ordinance on camping and sleeping in IVRPD-owned parks. As I understand the proposed ordinance, it offers the homeless the chance to leave the park without penalty, a good and nice touch, but then subjects them, should they return within 24 hours, to fines of up to $1,000 or sentences of up to 6 months in jail. Presumably, they have based these penalties on existing laws in other jurisdictions, but surely they understand such laws were drafted long ago and have over time proven ineffective and wrong-headed. Moreover, the penalties proposed clearly have little relation to the crime, so-called, involved, and make no sense now that we understand as a community the situation in which the homeless find themselves. They seem both excessive and cruel. Defining the crime as a misdemeanor will lead in the long run to pointless and expensive jury trials, wasting both time and money, producing far more acquittals than convictions. And then the most positive story here is a story from March 8th, and I'm not actually reading you the most recent stories, but these are sort of illustrative and set the stage for the series of interviews you're about to hear about from Isla Vista, from the encampment itself. But this, again, is a story by Elizabeth Lovero of the Daily Nexus. The Isla Vista Recreation and Parks District decided to draft an ordinance Thursday night, this was, again, a couple months ago, that would allow sleeping but not camping in IV parks. Roughly 30 community members attended the IVRPD meeting, the overwhelming majority of whom expressed a support for homeless camping in IV parks. The five-member board passed a recommendation to draft an ordinance which would prohibit camping in IV parks, but would permit overnight sleeping and reduce the penalty for camping from a misdemeanor to an infraction. The recent discovery that a county ordinance prohibiting camping and sleeping on county property does not apply to IV parks and that had been wrongly enforced for over a decade had prompted the recommendation. The difference between camping and sleeping was left fairly ambiguous. Board members said sleeping persons are permitted bedding and protection from the elements, which may include tents. IVRPD General Manager Derek Johnson said current county zoning laws require a conditional use permit in order to create official campgrounds. The district does not have the conditional use permit which would allow camping in the parks. If they were to actively permit camping, the district attorney could enforce the zoning violation with fines or other actions, he said. The process of filing for a conditional use permit would consume a great deal of county financial resources and staff time. On January 27th, IV homeless stationed themselves in tents on Ansequoyo Park to protest the lack of living space. Since then, the protesters have moved to Estero Park, where about 10 tents have been erected. And what's happening down there? Well, we hope to learn about that later. We will now learn about what was happening a week ago down there as we listen to this tape made by Becky Johnson.
Hi, this is Becky Johnson. I'm in Santa Barbara, California. It's April 14th, 2002. And I'm just about to go to Isla Vista, which is a community about 12 miles up the road from Santa Barbara, where a homeless encampment, Home Sweet Home, hopes to stay a little longer. Okay, we're in Isla Vista. We're here with Jenny Jett and what's
Hi,
your
Robert.
Name? Who knows Robert?
Dan.
My name is Daniel Cardenas.
Lusky. And Lusky. Okay, and unfortunately I find that you are here mourning the passage of two campers who died on, one person died on the 6th and another person on April 12th. Yeah, and I've unknown causes at this point in time. But I'm really here to find out about Camp Home Sweet Home and...
Robert made up that name, didn't he?
This is Robert's name, I think. Is there any official name here?
That's Home Sweet Home all together. They're total Raymond Colored Cap Liberty. We're standing on the Constitution, right? Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, and on and on, Sixth Amendment.
I'm a historian, so I like to go back to Teepee Village.
So
we're in Teepee Village, or Camp Liberty, or Camp Home Sweet Home. But it's certainly an encampment here. Yeah, how many people are currently housed here?
It fluctuates every day. I mean, people leave, people die. People come in, people leave. You know, if they get a job or get their stuff together, and they can actually keep their stuff together by keeping it in the tent, and they get a job without having a backpack to go to get a job, because, you know, it's hard to get a job that way.
And if you weren't staying here, what would your shelter options be?
Sleeping in a bush, carrying
another tent. knocked another spot, another forest, another tree, another bridge, you know, because we're all on our own. We're individuals. Everybody's individual, you know. We're independent. We're not crazy people. We fucking know. I mean, I'm sorry. We know what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know.
No, hi.
We were way for you.
Hi.
Glad to be here. If I am,
I
got to
take off
because
I got something to do. But
okay.
Say hi to everyone.
All right, Jenny. Thanks for putting us together and getting me here.
So what's
helpful here? Whatever you have to express.
Excuse me.
Positive.
Yeah.
What happened up there?
Santa Cruz?
Oh, in Santa Cruz, the camp got washed out, is that correct?
Oh, that was, the beginning of December, the river rose and they had to evacuate the camp because they were, they were too close to the river for the amount. I think Ben Woman got 10 inches of rain that night.
You know, being homeless is such a bummer. You have to put up with every part of the elements come here with high water.
And what's your name?
Dorothy, what the heck are you doing?
It's a tape recorder. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, but I mean the elements do so much. You know, it's so beautiful. That's why it's so beautiful being able to have a tent here and we're all together. We don't have to worry about what the hell's going to happen and we're all safe.
So Dorothy, how long have you been here at this camp?
What, kind of, sort of, maybe, kind of, sort of, I don't know.
Sir Ben caught a fire. She's been camping out here, yeah.
So you were living in your vehicle before that, and then now you...
Toto.
That's your dog. Okay.
And it caught fire, and I've been here, you know, I feel so safe.
We hooked up with a tent and stuff. Yeah. They hooked me up with a tent. We hooked up people with tents that were sleeping on the ground earlier, you know.
God bless these people.
No doubt. We take care of each other.
God bless these people.
Becky, before I have to go, but before I leave, I would like to treat the deaths of our friends as a personal thing.
Wow.
Okay, this is not going to help anybody else in the
yeah.
It's not been brought up. Okay, so
we all know that the homeless death rate is really
it is.
So let me.
I'm going to leave at this moment. I want to hear about the deaths. I'm sorry.
No.
Okay,
keep that on.
Okay, sure.
I'd like to finish what I'm saying. Is that, you know, for inspiration for other people, this isn't going to help, and it's a personal thing between everybody that went on here. Certain people are, you know, we're still alive. And that's what we want to talk about and go into the future. We don't know what happened. We're all sad about it, and it's no concern for anybody else. And that's all I'm going to say.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay. You guys have been doing a beautiful job here.
In Santa Barbara, there was a person that died that was sleeping under a bush, and he died there he died under a bush, and they didn't discover him or didn't, you know, move him for like a week, and he's really rancid and everything, and it's a really bad situation.
And
at least here we know who's not waking up, you know, and we can take care of that.
And the chance for getting emergency medical care exists if
better.
Other people are around.
Exactly, yeah.
We've got two working cell phones here, I believe, or we have two cell phones. I don't know if they're always working, but we have cell phones available.
I'm Becky Johnson.
I'm sorry.
And my name is Lawrence Suhr, S-U-H-R, and I've been coming and going to Isla Vista since 1959. And I was born in Santa Barbara in 1943. And
you're born and bred here, and you're homeless in your hometown?
Yes, and I've rented probably a total of 7 years in the last 30 years in Isla Vista. And maybe more, because I've rented in Old Town Goleta too, four different locations too, and then I rent in Santa Barbara maybe 20 places or so, and in Ventura County maybe half a dozen places. So.
There's a couple of people that used to own their own houses and rent them out and things, and just, you know.
I've been around here like forever, it seems like, and things keep fluctuating back and forth, but I had two brand new vehicles that I bought. I was a working person all the time. I'd hoped to be middle class one of these days, maybe own my own house. I helped raise my son in Isla Vista too, and now the roles are reversed. My son takes care of me more, and I do him.
Well, you know what, Becky, years ago, we had two deaths, I don't know, geez.
Yeah, that's funny.
Two deaths here.
Right.
And we had a hang up with a cell phone, but Chris ended up giving us a cell phone.
You know,
in case it happens again. I mean, there's no guarantee those people would have lived anyway.
Well, did you call, so you did call 911 as soon as you discovered them then?
Yeah. But at least now, we don't have to go search.
Right.
Alan. We had Honcho at the camp.
Oh, you're Alan? I'm being directed to speak to you. Head honcho, I would avoid these titles like the plague myself.
Ball washer and camp scout.
Correct on that statement.
Well,
we're all the head honcho.
I see we have a little disagreement about who actually runs this place.
We rotate down.
Dorothy votes for Alan.
I do.
Yeah, your vote is duly registered.
We help each other.
But at least now Alan's going to be here forever having a
telephone. It takes all of us to make this happen. It's not anybody being a head honcho. Everybody's got their place in this.
So have you had much positive community support from people who live in Isla Vista?
Surprisingly a lot. Yeah. A lot more than we expected.
The Frisbee golf players, we help get the Frisbees out of the tree.
Yeah.
You know, and we help spread the mulch all throughout the camp.
And the neighbors over here let us use their laundry and they offered to let us use some resources if we ever needed them. So they said that they were available, like on call if anything happened in there. That was really nice to know that if we needed something, that it was available. At least they'd give us a smile or something, if nothing else. But they were around and responsive. Plus, instead of responsive negative, so that was nice.
Okay, now I understand that this camp, which I've been calling Camp Home Sweet Home for a while, but apparently nobody else calls it that.
I think that sounds really positive. I like it. I adopted it myself.
Yeah, that's exactly.
People have been camping here for off and on for 40 years probably. But only, you know, a few days at a time because they have to rotate. Their campsites because of the harassment that we came through with being scrutinized by the police authorities. So
I was just coming to that.
Yeah.
How have the respectable constables of the law been treating you folks?
Lately, they're very respectful.
Touché,
but
all I have to say. You want to get their damn opinion, I'm going to say mine. Touché. I mean, they're doing I mean, the law is working with us. And it is beautiful, you know, and that's all I got to say. I'm not going to take off all your tape. That's it.
Because traditionally in communities that set up encampments, a big problem is the law enforcement come and you get hit with illegal camping, sleeping out of doors.
Yes.
They called a tape recorder.
This young lady is...
We're doing some interviews for Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM on your radio dial, and we're here at Camp Home Sweet Home in Isla Vista. And we're talking to...
Lawrence Suhr, S-U-H-R. And,
you were telling me about the police.
Yes, and the police, as a rule, usually were very cold towards the campers. But as of late, they've turned their heads and tried to not notice us too much, and then because of finding out that they had no legal leg to stand on because there was no ordinance officially that was sanctioned for to prosecute us, in which they had been prosecuting us for over 20 years for this so-called ordinance that wasn't in existence, that
Parks and Recs never
adopted a sleeping law, the camping law. So we've been getting fined for like many years of a law that didn't exist.
So who was the legal eagles that found out that there was no camping ordinance on the books?
Well, we had a lawyer that's been working on this project for us. It's called Glenn Maurer, and he's been a really strong lawyer that's been backing us up. And he brought this back out, and then the Parks and Recs admitted it.
So they were lethargic about it to a certain extent, but yet they deemed it that they were authoritarian as far as telling us where to go, and they just they were very mean-spirited at times, and a lot of people lost their animals, they lost their respect, they lost their sanity over this thing, and they lost a lot of time and freedom, and some people can say, well, this also caused this, but we have no, you know, legal proof of it, and so we'll never be able to find out that all this. But it sure appears that maybe they will find, when they go through all this and sift through the ashes, that they'll find that they do have a concrete grasp on reality, and that there is a firm charge that they can set up against them. Yeah.
And Doc never made it back. I mean, he just got, you know,
Donald Stevens he was talking about.
Donald Lee Stevens got arrested for a damn dog off a leash. When he got arrested, and, you know, he never made it back home. I mean, they released him at 2:00 in the morning.
Yeah.
And he was walking home from jail here, and it just got to be too much, and so he did the wrong turn, and he went to Tucker's Cove, and he found him dead on the embankment of the creek.
So, for a dog on the leash?
Dog off a leash, yeah.
Dog off a leash, he got picked up, went to jail?
And they released him at 2:00 in the morning.
And where's the jail that they released him?
Over here on 4436 County Real, which is where? But kind of sort of a mile and a half, 2 miles away? Uh-huh. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
In Manasquayo. And
he didn't actually die in the camp, but the other person did.
He was on his walk home for,
I've been here since 1980, and she's been here a long time. These are past friends who passed on along the way. The other two are recent that have been in the camp. It's just two.
Okay. Oh, sure, Dorothy.
Hey, you know what? God bless you for coming and checking this out, you know? I mean, it's just, you know, sad of what the hell's going on, but you know what? I feel so safe, and I bet you a lot of my other people feel so safe. Because we're all together.
Safe
enough. You know, yeah.
Okay, so coming up on the April 18th, this coming Thursday, Parks and Recreation Board is going to meet, and I guess there are some board members who are part of a committee that are considering drafting a camping ordinance.
Which we've never had in
for Isla Vista, yeah. And what is likely to happen at this meeting?
We don't know.
We have no real idea, but we seem to get vibes that the chances are that it's going to be revolutionary, whatever, because we've gotten more public support than we ever had in the past, and because of that, we feel that it's going to make something of a difference as far as other stations.
So you don't think it'll be an out and out ban on camping, but perhaps
we surely hope it won't be, but yet it very well could easily be, but we're very doubtful about that because the impression that we get from people that have inquired about it seem that they seem to be they can't really make up their minds on it themselves at the time, which is really a plus for us, so we get a little bit more time, but then that's still not the answer.
Now, these board members who are on the committee that are going to be making their recommendations about whether to enact an ordinance or maybe leave it as it is, or perhaps enact an ordinance that has very reasonable camping permitted features to it. And do you have any indication that these board members that are sitting on this committee are favorable to letting you stay on longer?
where your show car is. And it, there it is.
It's a mixed batch still, as I see it.
And anyway, may I say something?
Yeah, so who did you say you think is on your side with their name?
Peggy Soukar, S-O-U-Q-A-R.
I think I can answer that question.
Oh,
yeah. Hi, what's your name?
These two kids are there.
Okay, Mitch, what's going on?
Well, Chris Omer and I have been even in contact with a couple of board members. And as it stands now, there's two board members that are on the committee. Carly Augustino and Peggy Soukar that are drafting up camping ordinances. What they're doing right now is they're going to draft up two ordinances, one more in favor for us and one kind of not in favor for us. And they're going to propose the one in favor for us first, and then if the board decides against it, then they'll propose the other one. I don't know all the exact details of the one in favor for us.
I have a question though. Do you think they're going to be for us or not? I think so.
As it stands, so far there's only two members on the board that do support us 100%.
And what are their names?
Ariana Kidovich and Harley Augustine.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, that's Street Spirit.
Oh, okay.
Actually, Peggy and Soukar, she does back us 100%, but as a board member, she can't back us for illegal sleeping space because of, she said she has some issues with it with the Parks Department and the usage of the parks.
Which usually break down because there are sanitation issues, there's litter, garbage, there's also usually allegations of drug use, or I've even heard allegations of prostitution in homeless camps. And not that I know of any, but there are allegations people raise these...
It's the fact that we have a restroom right next to us here that we're allowed to use.
And who's that that's provided from where? Who provides the restroom?
No, it's
the park's property, but leased out through the teen center. And the teen center's allowed us to open the door.
24 hours?
Yes.
Wow. Well, so much for the sanitation issue.
Well, most of the issues that they have are legal issues concerning zoning laws. They say a lot of what we ask for needs conditional use permits and stuff like that. They need to get through legally. That one of the board members doesn't want it. She doesn't even want to deal with it. That's Diane Kahn. She's a very nasty woman.
I don't know. Okay.
Dorothy, go to your tent. Bye-bye.
I was really amazed at first the density in the area. That there's like a lot of residential area nearby. Tons of kids here. I mean, on skateboards and bicycles and blocking traffic and driving around crazy and couches in backyards and it looks to me like a landlord's nightmare, frankly, all the average
one person at a time.
So you can't find housing because
I was on housing at one time. And they give you a certificate. You gotta take the certificate to see if a landlord will accept the certificate. Well, I had a landlord in this town tell me personally, this is just between me and you, the reason we don't accept Section 8 is because we can't raise the rent. And a lot of the rents in this town have went up extremely. I used to rent at the Seville Apartments for 8 years before they jacked up the rents and vacated a lot of low-income people. who are either supplemental or welfare or whatever the thing may be. But a lot of people end up homeless because they can't afford the rent issues. And as for centers, that's another story. A lot of them are run like institutions. A lot of us need room to breathe. We shouldn't be punished just because we're economically disadvantaged to affording these high price issues. And I believe that's where a lot of the problem lies, is in lack of employment and rent issues being extremely high. And
so it's a gap between what you can earn from a job and what housing actually costs.
That's true.
It's hardly something that's a personal responsibility issue, which you often hear, say, right-wing think tanks always say that, you know, that homeless people were homeless because they made some sort of bad choice in their life. And
no, I totally disagree with that. You know, maybe some, but in all classes of life, there are people who make good and bad choices. And there are people who suffer who are extremely rich as well as extremely poor for whatever reasons of their life. We all carry our own personal conscience of what we do in our life. And that's what really counts, be it in the bottom or the top. And this is... this is a human rights issue. You know, basic human rights. Allow someone stability, at least stability, and they can get ahead in life. As long as we're being pressured to be shuffled around, it just perpetuates the problem, I believe.
And I know in Santa Cruz that we find that the average length of time a person is homeless is 4 months. I mean, some people, some people are homeless only a short time, and others are for years. We do find that the percentage of homeless that have been chronically homeless has almost doubled in the last 10 years. So.
I lived in my vehicles for years, but you could say I was homeless by choice, but there's still this because of the economical crunch, and I run against that right now because of they stymie my income. They only allow me to make a certain amount of money, which wouldn't even pay the rent and keep food on my own personal table, and so even though I've been classified disabled maybe 9.5 years or a little over 9 years. But I've been disabled, actually, physically disabled, because I had kidney disease for 50 years. I had Bright's disease when I was 8 years old. I came down with it then. I'm almost 59 now. So it's just something that I dealt with, but I was able to still work up till about 12 years ago. And I worked, I was afflicted by this disability, so I had to make numerous trips to restrooms, and now I have that, and then combination of allergy problems, bronchial problems that plague me now, and something that really stymies me, because I've always been a pedestrian, and I've always been athletic in some ways, so I still can get around a lot better than an average person because of my will to do it, but still I'm stymied because of this financial disability thing. And I applied for housing on about half a dozen lists in my lifetime, and I never really got it. I was shuffled around, and I was told to go to Lompoc, and I was told I could get housing right away there, but I couldn't see going to Lompoc, because this is where I live, in Santa Barbara. Goleta and Carpinteria is all Santa Barbara to me, and all the tri-cities right near here are all Santa Barbara to me, and so this is where I wanted to live, and I've lived all my life, just about, except for my traveling when I was young. From 25 to 32 years old, I traveled thoroughly. And, now, tomorrow's going to be a big date for me, because it'll be my 31st anniversary of hitchhiking to Boston and running the Boston Marathon. And I hitchhiked there and back, so I went like over 9,000 miles in that turn. And I did it all on my own, and it was
quite a little run there.
And tomorrow they run the Boston Marathon, and so it'll be like 31 years ago. I feel to say I did it.
Okay, so we're talking to Mara.
Moro. M-A-U-R-O.
Moro. Okay, Moro, and you were talking about how homeless people have suffered a lot of attacks or violence or different episodes over the years. What have you seen?
Exactly. It's the situation of the people, homeless people who suffer on the street. It's covered by the community. They don't want to see it. You know, they don't want to see it. They don't want to leave. Or they know, but they don't want to see it. In this area, right in this area, we live at the university, controlled for the students, absolutely. So the students come every Fridays, every single Fridays, every Saturday, they come in up on group and they burn couch, they explode tanks containers of oil, 50 gallons tanks, they burn vans, automobiles, and they show, they throw a stuff over the homeless people. And I can tell you, if I tell you about the explosion of the tanks, is because they put a tank where a homeless people boy is sleeping. They have, on the day when they put the explosion, he wasn't sleeping. They burn a van to a grove. Her name is Dorothy right there. She was sleeping there. Somebody put firecrackers in